I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Holy gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, beginning in the 17th chapter, verse 1. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I invite the beautiful children of our church forward, please. Whenever you're ready, come on down. We'll have a seat here. All right. Hi, everybody. Maddie, you can come a little closer. You guys can bring it in. Let's bring it in. Hi, Maddie. Good. Oh, look at these bundles of joy. Hello. All right. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Good. Well, I have a question for you. Have you ever seen anything amazing?
Yeah.
Like so cool? Yeah? Like, what'd you see?
A fire hydrant.
You saw a fire hydrant? That was amazing, yeah. You got anybody else ever go on a vacation and see something that's amazing? Or maybe, I don't, yeah. Okay, yeah. You saw a waterfall? What was it awesome? What did you feel like when you saw it? Was it exciting? Did you jump into it? No? Did you go and tell people about it afterwards that you saw it? Yeah? Why? Because it was lame, or because it was cool? I'll take cool, sure. Yeah, what'd you see, buddy?
Lego World.
Lego World, yeah. Lego World was an expensively awesome thing that you saw, yeah. Yes, it was. Yes.
Watching Lego Masters?
Okay, one more. You held a little lizard at the waterfall? How amazing. You see, all of us, I think, if we really think about it, we've all seen some amazing things. And some of them are as fun as Legoland. Others are maybe the birth of a child or something you can't even put words to. And when we experience those things, don't you kind of get excited and want to tell people about them? Yeah? Well, today in our gospel story, Jesus is transfigured. You know what that word means?
No.
Most of the people out there don't either. It means his appearance was changed. And it said that his face shone as brightly as the sun. And there was all this wind, and God was looking just glorious and magnificent. And the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they were so moved by this, they didn't know what to do or say. But they wanted to tell people about it. See, when we experience amazing things, we get excited, and we want to share those feelings with other people. And our God wants us to share God's love that we experience with other people. Amen?
Amen.
Good job, buddy. Save daddy there. Good. Well, let us pray. You can repeat after me. Lord, help us to be amazed by you. Help us to see you in the everyday, ordinary things. And give us the strength to share those things with everybody else. And everybody says, amen. Did you repeat after me on that one? Good. Amen. You may go back to your guardians at this time. You too. I love you. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. It is sunny out. Ash Wednesday is Wednesday. Somehow that happened. We got the calendar wrong. And so it's getting crazy and busy, and so I invite us to now settle into a time of prayer as we enter God's Word. So please pray with me. Again. God, help us to continue in this place and enter into your presence unencumbered by those things that we brought into this room today. Put aside those distractions, those worries, those concerns, those anxieties, God, and let us be fully present with you as we encounter your word, as we encounter you at the table, and as we encounter you in song and liturgy. Help us to see you, God, and experience you, we pray. Amen. So Transfiguration of our Lord, yet another learning experience from Pastor Karen. First time I've ever preached this one. Thank you very much. Transfiguration. Everyone, who's excited about Transfiguration Sunday, right? See a lot of you dressed up for it. It's an exciting day. And it is an exciting day. I actually believe it is. But it's sometimes difficult, I think, for pastors, as I've read all these commentaries and listened to other pastors this past week talk about this Sunday that falls right before Lent, the end of Epiphany. It is this kind of bridge between the two. A professor of mine in college, Mark Thronvite, he said that the Transfiguration Sunday reminds us that there are two mountaintop experiences in Lent, one at the beginning and one at the end. Today, this first one is what the disciples thought the kingdom of God was going to be like. Glory and shining, and this is God, Moses, and Elijah. Oh, we got this. The end of Lent shows us what the kingdom of God was really like. Christ on a cross, offering himself for all people. But we need these two reminders, and they help hold Lent together, I think, for this journey that we're about to enter this week. But it's still kind of a weird day. You see, I think sometimes we just don't allow ourselves to even enter into this imaginative approach to God, to think about what this experience must have been like for the disciples as they entered into this narrative with Jesus on the mountain. So much is happening. Moses and Elijah show up. How do they know it was Moses and Elijah? But they show up, and somehow they knew. And these stories of Moses and Elijah, even their deaths are a bit murky. We know they were lifted up, but there were no bodies. They simply went home to be with God. And now they're here. And the disciples see Jesus change dramatically. I mean, it is the most special effects scene in Scripture. It is like face like a sun. The wind is blowing. It is just this glorious moment. And Peter's response is, God, I want to stay here forever. Can I build us some houses? You know, I think oftentimes Peter says the wrong thing. But I think in this one situation, Peter said the right thing, the thing that all of us would have perhaps professed. God, I want to stay here forever. It's hard sometimes to enter into this transfiguration mindset, this moment where Jesus says, do not be afraid, and we're supposed to just sit in the presence of God. I am a to-doer. I think while I'm doing, which isn't always effective, but that's how I operate. I want to be doing things and having tasks and accomplishing goals, and I very rarely will slow down and experience the things that I'm participating in. It's a struggle for me, and maybe some of you can relate, yet I think we're called to this today. In Scripture, there's all these stories about moments of rest or when there was a tumult and then it ended and the skies opened and things were calm. From creation, we have this chaos that's happening and all of these things are created and the Spirit of God is hovering, and then on the seventh day, God rests. In Exodus, Moses heads up on the mountain, and he's gone for 6 days, and the Israelites say clouds covered the mountain and what looked like storms. And then on the seventh day, it was tranquil, and Moses comes down with the law. And here we see the end of a week, and Jesus is entering up onto this mount, and this dramatic scene takes place, and the disciples are left with this sense of, what do we do with this? My drive home from LCR takes about 25 minutes, give or take, much shorter than Pastor Karen's. And on that ride home, I'm typically listening to a podcast or some incredible Tom Petty song. But every now and then, I will become overwhelmed with this sense that I need to shut off the world. And I don't know why it happens in this car ride, but it happens more often than not in this car ride. And I turn things off, and I allow myself to just kind of be. And that's hard for me. It's hard for me to shut off my brain. It's hard for me to shut out sounds. But I do. And it's in that moment that I experience something different. That moment of remarkable silence, something grasps a hold of me. And maybe you have these moments in your day or your week. This morning at worship at 8 o'clock, our pianist Jim, who's incredible, went up to play the organ. But there was about a minute and a half of no music. And everybody for the first 45 seconds was so silent. And then I just felt this nervous energy in the room where someone had to make a noise or something. And then I heard a couple conversations behind me, and it was okay. But I think we're so uncomfortable sometimes with silence. When communion starts and the band doesn't begin right away, sometimes people look over there to see, well, is there, you have to start music before we can. We just don't know what to do with it. And I think in church it's a little easier. When we go back out into the world, we are bombarded with this cacophony of sounds, and most of them don't matter. We're brought into these conversations that have no life-giving properties whatsoever. No matter how much of a political genius we think we are, most of those conversations are a waste of our time. The sounds on the radio or the TV or at work, all these things distract us from truly observing and being aware of God in our midst. And in our psalm today, the psalmist is lamenting this world that has chosen to go against God. And then we see God's response, which, by the way, on the surface, doesn't seem very encouraging, right? Here's a couple words from God in the psalm. God is laughing in heaven. God who is throned in heaven is laughing. There is wrath when God speaks, and rage fills with them with terror. He shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear. You see, on a surface reading, we might see a God that is angry and going to make a decision about what we deserve. And I think up to that point, you're correct. We have a God who looks at humanity and just desires for us to do better because God knows that we can do better. But when God passes God's judgment on humanity, God's judgment is this: you are my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You see, God's judgment of humanity is the incarnate Christ, God with us, the Christ who defeated death, God forever giving us life, a God of grace, compassion, and forgiveness, not a God of contempt, not a God of judgment. The God of Israel is not some narcissistic God trying to spout out God's power. It's a God who is so enveloped in compassion for the world that the Savior is the only solution. A Savior who must live with us, who must be fully human, but lest we forget that he is also fully God, we have this scene today. Transfigured on the mountaintop. How often do we miss these moments of God? Friends, we would do well to sit in silence for a while, to turn off for just a little bit all of the media that turns us into nervous wrecks. Our family lives, our restaurants, wherever we're going out to eat, our political climate, they're all filled with so much noise that it prevents us from being who God has called us to be. You see, it's in that sacred moment of silence, that moment of peace where we can just be. And God so desperately desires, now I think more than ever, us just to be, to just sit, to just wait. And then in those moments, I believe we will begin to experience God in different ways. God's bigness is not characterized by some sort of finger-wagging God. God's character is given to us in Jesus. It's one that does not neglect the poor. It's one that is always there for the vulnerable. It never excludes the stranger. It is all-encompassing. It is all-forgiving. And this is a God that is easy to follow. I believe that's true in the sense that we want to believe that's possible, but sometimes hard to share with people. You see, when we experience God, when we have those moments on the mountain, the first thing they want to do is stay there forever. The second thing they want to do is to tell everybody about it. And Jesus says, hold on a minute. Hold on. There's a little bit more of this journey left. None of it will make sense until you understand my resurrection. But their response was human, and it was appropriate. They wanted to enter into this story and just share the good news that they saw God. How often do we see God and we want to give witness to it, but we don't know how to? Friends, I encourage you to give witness to it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Those magical, amazing moments where you know that what you're experiencing is not human, it is spiritual, it is divine. Share those things. They're happening here. They happen every time we have a meal. They happen every time Pastor Karen baptizes a child and we join together in promising and committing that kid to the church. The story of God's people began with a story of freedom. They're led out of Israel. They cross the sea. They're given this beautiful law, a law, by the way, that was only supposed to be about relationship, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. But look, even that early church didn't get it. And God continued to love, and God continued to raise up. And we have a Savior who loves us in ways that we cannot explain sometimes, yet does, and says, what I require of you is this. Recognize me as God, love me, and love others. And we say, got it, check, piece of cake, until that moment when we don't want to love, until that moment when we're afraid to name that God is in our midst. The light of transfiguration and the sunlight that's shining today is a reminder that we have a God who is holy, who is awesome. It causes you to stand in awe. I hope you find those moments. I hope you search them out. Think about your past week. Think about your morning. Where are those moments where you could have just put away the world and just sat and just existed? Because that's enough, God says. There's obviously more to this Christian faith, but sometimes that's just enough. I'm going to invite the band to come up here. We're going to sing a song, and I just want you to hear the words of the chorus. And I'm going to invite you in this time to silently reflect on whatever it is you want to reflect on. But I would hope that you would put away those things that distract you from just being, just existing. Maybe this is a time where you need just to breathe, to just know that it's okay, to look around this room and know that you're not alone. No matter what you think, no matter what you think separates you from God, you are not alone. You're in a room full of people in a church that loves you and believes that you are capable of so much. The chorus of this song is, holy is the Lord revealed before my eyes, and my burning heart can scarcely take it in. As I behold your beauty with unworthy eyes, the only song that my soul can find to sing is hallelujah, 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 my King. Amen.